Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy, here today with an old, good, young friend of mine, however you want to say it. His name is Joe Bello, and he's the owner of Bello Vino. And I have watched Joe's career expand and grow over the last 20 years. And I'm really excited to bring him on the show because I wanted to share with all of our listeners here in Westmoreland County about ways that your nonprofit could start to partner with Joe's business so that you can grow your mission and grow engagement in your nonprofit. So, Joe, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be here. And saying 20 years that hit a little different all of a sudden.
I know, I know. That's why I say a young old friend, but we've been friends since we were young and in our 20s, and I'm glad
Absolutely.
to see that you continue to do so well. So why don't you tell us first about you? Because tell us where you grew up and how sort of your first career was really focused on food, and then we'll talk about the shift to wine.
Absolutely. So I grew up in Shaler and went to Shaler High School and got into kind of culinary. I started working at neighborhood dive bars and stuff down in that area. And when I decided I wanted to make it a career, I went to Pennsylvania Culinary, and that turned into a whole life of being a chef for the first 17 years of my life. So I worked at the Duquesne Club. I worked at Fox Chapel Golf Club, and then we decided to open our own restaurant in Monroeville. So that's where I think we finally met, was in Monroeville at the Wood Nickel. And that's how the love of food and wine pairing and all of that kind of came together. So then there was just kind of a shift in the world as things happened, and I decided it was time to look to do something different. And that's how I got into the wine industry. So worked for Breakthru Beverage for a little bit. Then I worked directly for a wine supplier named Vanguy Vineyards. I managed 20 states for that winery. And about a year and a half ago, decided it was time to start my own distribution company. And that's how Bello Vino came. So here we are. And back in Monroeville. I mean, almost ironically full circle.
Well, there was a lot of education you sort of breezed over because you don't just decide one day that you're going to go into wine distribution. I mean, you had a lot of education, a lot of training. Do you want to talk people through that?
Yeah, so again, formal culinary education, went to culinary school for that, and there was always a wine class kind of associated with that. Really, when I worked at the Capitol Grill was when I got into the wine end of things. So I had a chef and a sommelier down there who said, you should pursue this, even if it's just something you do kind of as a fun thing, right? So studying for wine tests is kind of fun. Yeah, I decided to kind of pursue that. I went through two different angles. So there's the Court of Master Sommeliers. I'm actually certified through the Court of Master Sommeliers, so that's the second level. If you've ever seen the TV show SOM and all that stuff that's out there on the internet, that's that class. So a lot of mentors that helped me along the way with that. And then kind of push me into, there's also an organization called the Wine and Spirits Educational Trust. And that's more designed for like suppliers and salespeople. So, kind of had a few mentors say, hey, why don't you give that a shot? So, I am now level three through the WSET. Potentially going to go for the diploma. I have another mentor who's really pushing me on that one. But, you start your own business and studying becomes a little challenging at that point.
Can
But,
imagine.
I still might do it. We'll see. And then I also then did an offshoot. With the Wine and Spirits, well, I did the Wine and Spirits Educational Trust, and then I did the Society of Wine Educators. Again, with the mindset of kind of teaching wine classes. So for a brief period, I actually taught at the Art Institute, did both their culinary classes and some of their wine classes. So, yeah, a lot of education wrapped up into while still working and trying to figure it all out.
Yeah, and it's a lot. So then, you decided to get into wine distribution. So Bello Vino was born. So tell us a little bit
Correct.
about that business and its evolution.
Yeah, so the idea of Bello Vino was trying to connect. I mean, my last name's Bello, so I could steal it. It makes it easy. But loosely translates into like beautiful wines. And the idea was to create a distributorship where we could bring in kind of smaller boutique, wine suppliers. We partnered with a spirits company out of Philadelphia, so now we have a full spirits portfolio. That company is called Bottled, so we have both a full wine and spirits line. And again, really trying to focus on more of the boutique craft, a lot of female producers, a lot of female winemakers. Again, just to give those distributors that are out there right now really focus on volume, right? And of course, we want to sell a ton of wine, but we want to do it in the right places. So to give some of these suppliers that might not be able to fit into the bigger books a place that we could still give them dedicated attention.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So you then you kind of evolve into the next level where you say, I think we need to have a place to do this. I think we need to have a venue. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes. So we actually started on Route 30. We were in the same plaza with GDC Jewelers, and I cannot speak more highly of Joe. He's one of the nicest guys in the world. He gave us a chance to kind of start our business, and thankfully, again, we're a year and a half old. We just outgrew it. I mean, we got to a level of distribution that I'll knock on everything around here and thank God for this one, that we definitely needed to expand. So we now opened up into a traditional warehousing space. It's going to be in the Seiko Business Park in Monroeville. And there'll be a small area within it. Again, it's rustic. It's a warehouse. That's what we're trying to do. But there'll be a small area within it where we can, do some events. And that's kind of what led into this conversation. And just host some tasting, fun, educational events that don't have to necessarily turn into this huge party. But they still might. You never
Right.
know.
Or huge production or a lot of planning, particularly for nonprofits. And what caught my eye is that I've been seeing some nonprofits, and particularly I saw even a St. Barbara Parish in Harrison City. I saw that they were partnering with you to bring in their I guess it would be young adult members, to get engaged with sort of theology on the vine and learn a little bit. Educate a little bit and then enjoy some wine. So those are the kinds of things that you're able to host now, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. And there are a few others that we're kind of chatting with, and we've done a lot of offsite events as well. I mean, that's one of the joys of having, we kind of have two different licenses built within our distribution network. So what they call a PA limited license allows us to do pop-up events. So, we're in the talks about potentially working with a theater group in the city to do some pop-up events with them. We worked with the Pittsburgh Opera for a while. So there's the opportunity to not only do it within our own building, but also to bring it out if somebody's looking to do something elsewhere. So yeah, it's kind of a win-win. But the St. Barbara, that's where I go to mass every Sunday. So I went to one of the theologies on tap, and it was kind of an interesting, I love this, but I'm not much of a beer drinker. And we started just having this conversation about, hey, if you ever want to do anything with wine, just let me know. And Amelia and I had this long conversation a few weeks ago, and I was like, I think this could work. I think I have the space finally where we can make this all come together.
Yeah, I know. I think it's wonderful. And you've done, several events for our Catholic Foundation, and it's been a lot of fun to partner, and people enjoy it and they learn and they get to taste great wine. So it's just, it's a win-win for everybody who comes. Now, are you also the sommelier for your family? Are you the one in charge of picking all the wines for every holiday and every celebration?
I probably still get more phone calls about the food on that end. I'm the like phone a chef on Thanksgiving where everybody calls in. But no, I mean, yes, I get a lot of phone calls and texts from friends. Hey, I'm at a restaurant. Which one of these wines do you think I should? My cousin actually just texted me from Denver about 2 months ago, and it was like, hey, I've got four wines. I have to impress my boss. Which one should I pick? And gave him the little rundown. And this is where I'd go if I was you. So, so
That's fantastic.
if you need a phone a som or a phone a chef, my number's on the website. You can call me anytime.
Now, your customers, though, are you mainly, since it's distribution, are you mainly now working with restaurants and stores, or do you still work with people off the street, or how does that work?
Yeah, so the cool thing again about these two kind of different licenses that I have, the PA limited licenses allow me to actually sell directly on my website. We can do, like I said, pop-up stores. It also allows us to sell in like breweries. So we've built a nice little relationship with a lot of the breweries in the city, and it's kind of become a neat little thing on that side. But yeah, this whole that piece allows me to even do farmers markets, direct to consumer events. So we have about 30 SKUs within that, 30 different varietals within that PA Limited, where we can sell directly to anybody, including a Penn State logoed wine. So as you get ready for the football season, if you're a Penn State fan, if you're a Pitt fan, I always say, you can buy it and, sit and look at it in anger. If you're a Penn State fan, then great, it's time to do
Oh, that's funny. That's
it. But
great.
yes, then the majority of our business, I mean, I'd say over 80% of our business is done in restaurants and clubs. We've built a really great relationship with country clubs and steakhouses. The wine list, again, that we have kind of caters more towards a little bit more of a premium price point. So we've really developed a niche within the country club world, and it's been a lot of fun. Got a wine dinner tonight, actually.
Ew. Oh, that's going to be fun. That's great. And so you actually work with people to select what they need to pair it with whatever food that they're thinking about making, or they maybe even help them with a house wine, a house choice, right? So that they always have that ready for their customers when they come in.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, our book ranges from $9.99 all the way up to, $600 a bottle. So we can fit something everywhere. And yeah, we've got a lot of accounts that use us for their banquet pours, their wedding venue pours, all the way up to, like I said, we've got some of the best steakhouse, placements, and it's a lot of fun to get to go into the really high-end places and see their wine cellars. So and then again, like on the back end, we even have some private, customers who buy from us, help them kind of curate some wine list. I've done some private dinner parties for people who just were looking to kind of elevate what they usually have by bringing in a sommelier and kind of talking about everything that goes on. So we'll do whatever you need. That's our philosophy as a company. We want to make sure that we provide the best customer service we can. So we go out of our way. I've got 11 reps across the state, and each and every one of them share the same philosophy. And if you need something, we'll definitely find a way to make it happen.
So when you're looking at this from a nonprofit perspective, and nonprofits are now trying to re-engage people after COVID in person, right? It's yes, we have email drip campaigns. Yes, we have mailers and postcards. But when you try to get them together, you almost have to tap dance and have all this pizzazz to get people to come out of their house and come back. And so what's your advice for nonprofits? How could you partner with them to get people out and get them more engaged in their mission?
Yeah, so I mean, we love doing it. Our philosophy is we wouldn't be here if we didn't have the right people guiding us along the way. And the philosophy to that is wherever we can help to give back, we're more than happy to try. And again, I would encourage people. The days of, gift baskets and things like that really aren't what drive people in. We've noticed that the events that we do where we're on site, where there's a physical presence, again, like you said, I think after COVID, people just want to see each other again. There's a balance of sharing a glass with people. It's an activity. It brings joy to everybody who's around it, and there's just a camaraderie that allows people to kind of get back into what it used to be, if that makes sense. But and I again, I've been seeing a lot of the events that bring either me or one of my teammates out, tend to draw when there's the gathering of everyone. So we're more than happy to look at anything and help you and think of different ways. We have a team member on our team that actually has her own kind of bartending team. So if there's ever a point where you need to actually hire, ramp certified bartenders and everything that goes along with that, we can connect you with that. There's a million different ways we can help to make your event to the next level it needs to get to.
Right. And this is, these are sort of unique and niche events that nonprofits could do that could engage people and bring people in for sure. And now that you have a little venue too, it's nice. And obviously, if you're working with small groups like St. Barbara, you're not charging an arm and a leg. So that's good too.
Correct. Yeah, look, our philosophy is wherever we can, cover costs and make a little bit back to keep the lights on. But we do a lot for instance, with the St. Barbara, any sales that happen that day, we're actually giving 10% back to the church itself. We just did this with another organization not that long ago. So again, that's one of the benefits of having that PA limited license. We can physically sell some product there, or you can sell product and, build that all into how revenue is generated for the nonprofit.
Fantastic. All right. You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. My guest today is Joe Bello from Bello Vino. He is a wine distributor who is now working with nonprofits to elevate their events. So when we come back from the break, we're going to pick Joe's brain a little bit about some of his favorite wines as we approach midsummer and to see what we should be maybe thinking about when we select for poolside parties. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Joining me today is Joe Bello. He is a wine distributor. He owns Bello Vino, and we're excited to have him. I was telling the audience during the first half of the show that Joe and I have been working together on and off for the last 20 years. I've seen him evolve from a chef to a sommelier and now a wine distributor. He has his own venue now where nonprofits are able to come in and try to elevate their mission, engage people, and really work with them to try to, bolster some interest in what they're doing. And I think that's a great opportunity for nonprofits, particularly in a post-COVID world where we've gotten used to these email drip campaigns. And instead, making sure that we're engaging them one-on-one. And so, what Joe is providing is, you can select your wines. He's able to educate people about the wines, and he's doing it in a way that you're able to earn money back for your nonprofit through the sale of products. So that's great. Joe, I'm sure you get asked this all the time, but let's say for the summer on a hot day, what would be the wine that you would select for a poolside?
I'm gonna say probably vodka and soda. No,
But
I think that you're looking for crisp wines. My wife loves a nice chilled Sauvignon Blanc by the pool. Rosés are perfect this time of year. There's a reason that they get real popular in the summertime. It's a nice way to kind of have a red wine that's still chilled. And a lot of people think that, don't chill red wine. I just had a conversation with a master sommelier the other day who's one of our suppliers, and he's like, chill your Pinot Noirs, please. Like, you chill your Pinot, right? You take wines that you usually enjoy and just chill them down a little bit, and it'll be perfect near your pool. Beaujolais are amazing this time of year, and but yeah, I have a couple red blends that are in my portfolio. I'll throw Blenheim as an example. It's actually owned by Dave Matthews, but out of Charlottesville, Virginia. It's a Cab Franc forward and like a little chill on it. They have one called the Farm Red. That is my go-to summer sipper right there. But yeah, Sauvignon Blancs, anything with nice acid, big crisp. Grüner Veltliners are really fun. They have this almost herbaceous characteristic that runs through them. And yeah, chill a red, why not?
Yeah, that's good advice for sure. And then as we move into the fall, because people are already asking, when can I get my pumpkin spice? I'm sure Starbucks probably the executives at Starbucks roll their eyes because it's July and people are already asking about pumpkin spice. But do you see any wines that particularly are popular in the fall months?
I I mean, I would strongly, and I jokingly say this to people that Zinfandel is the pumpkin spice of the wine world. Just the flavor profile, you got all this kind of like, cinnamon and nutmeg that come out of it. You get this like beautiful, I always say like a good Zinfandel, not white Zinfandel, a good red Zinfandel will taste like a fruit roll up. It's just they're fun. They're really nice to drink, and they're fairly affordable. Get a nice one out of Lodi or out of Sonoma. That's a lot of fun to drink. That's my favorite time of the year to start drinking when the fireplaces start lighting and the campfires come out. It's just I feel like everything tastes better. Even your Chardonnays get a little deeper. It's right when a lot of the wines are being harvested, and I just feel like there's a balance of as they always say, what grows together goes together. So I just there's something about that time of year. It's starting to grow in the northern hemisphere. Like that's when you start drinking the wines, and they make a ton of sense. It's our busiest time of year, so I guess a lot of people think the same way.
Interesting. Okay. And then you move into the holidays. Is that when red really becomes popular, or is it more of a sparkle champagne over the holidays? How does that work?
Yeah, that's when you need the bourbon to get through the holidays with the family. No, the champagne obviously becomes very, very popular. And it's a celebratory thing. I always say, you don't need to drink champagne for, New Year's Eve. You should drink it on a Tuesday. It's, there are really good sparklings that are out there. And why not? Every day is a celebration, right? We made it another day. Let's celebrate. But yeah, I mean, we have this beautiful bottle. If you check out our website, Alexandre Sparkling, it's gorgeous flower packaging. We sell a ton of it from basically, right around Thanksgiving all the way up to Valentine's Day is the period for that one. So, but no, it's it comes down to the food, right? As a former chef, sometimes during Thanksgiving, people tend to not serve the right wines. You got to think about what you're eating. And then the food makes, the wine makes more sense. So, your big California Cabernets, save those for the prime rib that might be coming out on, on Christmas, but on Thanksgiving when you're having a nice turkey, it's Pinot is about as high as I would go. There's a lot of really fun, blends out there that work during that time. But think about the food you're serving, and then even that. Is your turkey really the most flavorful thing on your dish? It's not. It's probably your gravy or your stuffing. Really think about where's the flavor coming from and pair to that flavor. The best pairing advice I was ever given is think of it like the body of wine, right? So if you're thinking about milk, right? Heavy cream tastes completely different on your mouth than 2% milk. If you think about food, chicken tastes completely different on your mouth than, a T-bone steak. So pair that flavor, pair that body, to the wine itself. You don't want a big wine with a small dish. They'll just completely crush it. So.
No, for sure. And then, you always, last year you did a great show for us about picking a wine for Valentine's Day and whether you're pairing it with chocolate or some kind of sweets. That's kind of fun too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Don't think you also can't have it with dessert. I'm a firm believer of you can, have a glass of wine for breakfast. Just, keep it within moderation.
And what do you recommend that Valentine's Day time of year? What's one of your favorites?
Yeah. So again, that really comes into the sparklings. They get to be a lot of fun. But if you're going for like dark chocolate, that's, get into a Malbec. They're a lot of fun. The Argentinian Malbecs just have this perfect, beautiful kind of note to them. I have one called Three Sapis, which is all built around sustainability. And, it's a beautiful wine. I again can sell direct to consumer, and sell it in a ton of restaurants in the area, but it's like their Grand Reserva with a nice dark chocolate is just, I mean, unbelievable. And yeah, I mean, I also, love, I'm a huge Sauvignon Blanc fan across the board. So, I don't think there's ever a bad time to drink a Sauvignon Blanc. And there's enough of them. If you're pulling from France or, Australia or New Zealand or California, there's enough different opportunities to kind of always change up the flavor profile. So.
You're so fun to listen to because you know so much about this. And that's why you make all these events that you do for nonprofits so much fun. So, if they came to you and said, we want to do a white wine tasting, you could pick the wines and you could educate people about those, correct?
Absolutely. In fact, the wine dinner that we're doing this weekend that we chatted about is going to be all red wine. Just a supplier we have in, and it's going to be all reds. So that's a complicated scenario for the chef because the first couple courses they want to keep lighter, and she did a great job with that. So it's going to be at a country club. So and then but yeah, we've done all kinds of if there's a menu that's already made, we can help pair towards the menu. From my years of being in the restaurant industry, we have some chef friends that are sometimes more than happy to jump in. I do an event every year for a civic society, and a friend of mine from the industry and I, he does the food, I do the wine. So there's always opportunities out there.
It's so fun. So many ideas come to my mind, and it's so great that you're willing to get out there and partner with nonprofits and people trying to elevate their mission and reconnect with people after COVID, which is great. And I think this too gives you an opportunity to be creative, right? You enjoy that piece of your work.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's again, it kind of combines both sides of my world, right? As a former chef, I get to kind of think back into the old party planning days, the old how's this menu going to come together? And with all the wine education that I've had, it's nice to share it with other people. I again had a master sommelier who would always say, this isn't a parlor trick. Everybody can enjoy wine. You get this wine list at the restaurant and it's this intimidating thing. And
It
it
is.
shouldn't be. But
It
it
is.
is,
You say,
right? It
I'll
is.
just try one of everything. There you go.
Yeah,
Then you're
I'll take the
perfect.
second most expensive bottle. Don't do that.
Yes.
Don't do
Okay.
that. Although every restaurant's gonna be mad. I just said that. Don't do that.
So how can people connect with you? Can you give us your social media, your website, everything like that?
Yeah, so I mean, everything's linked into the website, which is www.bellovinopa.com. We had to add the PA because there's another Bellovino that was a little shop in the Midwest, so we couldn't get the whole thing. We're working on it. We've already reached out to them, but so bellovinopa.com, and that links all the socials. Everything's right there at the beginning. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. I do a Friday. I call it Feature Friday. So every Friday, I kind of do a wine and, just kind of give a little bit of a, I don't want to call it a deep dive. We try to keep it a minute and a half to 2 minutes. A couple quick tasting notes about what this wine is and, why it's in our portfolio, kind of just help out the supplier network as well. So we connect that into all of those. Do a little bit on TikTok, but I don't know. I'm in my 40s. I don't understand social media, so I've made it into Instagram and Facebook, and sometimes I can get it onto to TikTok as well. So,
Well, I think you're doing great. So bellovinopa.com, and
correct.
then they can link into all your socials and check you out and see ways that nonprofits can partner with you, and you continue to do good work in the community, which is great. We're excited to continue to watch your career progress, and we'll look forward to having you back on the show at Valentine's Day. So be ready for the phone call, and everybody's going to be interested in jotting down all their notes about what they should be buying their friends and loved ones for Valentine's Day. Does that sound like a good plan?
That sounds wonderful.
Okay, wonderful. Thanks everybody for listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. I want to sincerely thank Joe Bello from Bello Vino for joining us on the show. If you have an idea for the show, please write into WHJB. We're always looking for guests. This show airs every Sunday at 7 a.m. and 11 p.m. on WHJB. Once again, thanks for listening.